Book of Revelation, chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and earth, the earth and heaven fled away. And there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Now, you can downplay works if you want to. I ain't going to. You can downplay works if you want to. And of course, when people preach against works, they preach against all works. When they become antinomians, they preach against all law. J. Vernon McGee said that there was no law, even under the New Testament dispensation. Amen. And all law is thrown out the window by the liberal fundamentals today. The sad thing about that is you're going to be judged by your works. So you better be vigilant and have some. Come on. Amen. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Now this is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm preaching this morning for a while on the second death. Amen. The second death is a lake of fire. Well, what about the first death, Brother Colin? Well, let's turn to Luke 16 and find out about it. 19th verse, there was a certain rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day, and a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed of the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore, and it came to pass. The beggar died. First death. And was carried by angels unto Abraham's bosom. First death for Lazarus. Amen. The first death for the righteous takes us into the presence of God to be comforted. Amen. He was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. That means there's something to carry in the first death even. Angels carried that soul in Abraham's bosom. Of course, when Jesus died, he moved Abraham's bosom into the presence of God. Paul said to be absent with in the body is to be present with Christ now. Amen. So we don't go to Abraham's bosom. Amen. The old black spiritual sang, "Rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham." Amen. We don't have to worry about the bosom of Abraham now. Amen. We're going where Abraham is, in the presence of God. Abraham's alive someplace, not body yet, but his soul is alive. Because God said he's the God of the living and not the God of the dead. And so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's all alive someplace. He wouldn't be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if he wasn't alive, because he's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Amen. So the soul's alive someplace. Listen to this. The rich man also died and was buried. That's what they do with the body. They bury it. Amen. But what happens to the soul of this rich man that wasn't ready to meet God? In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. See, Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. That's the first death. I mean the first death even of the wicked, they're tormented in flame. The first hell, the first death of the wicked is terrible. The rich man gives us an insight into it that you will rarely find, and even the Jehovah Witnesses deny this. They say, that's just a parable. Jesus didn't mean what he said. Amen. One of them told me several years ago, about 40, said, why, in your Bible it says it's a parable. Well, it depends on what Bible you're reading. Amen. When it says the parable, that's men's notes in there. Amen. This is a story. This is a part of eternal existence of two men that Jesus tells us about. He even gave one of them a name, and possibly even the rich man's name was Dives, in case he's the same one he used in different places. Amen. He may also even have a name. Even the first death is torment in flames. Now, how Billy Graham and any other of the modern teachers can understand anything else when it's so plain in Scripture, I cannot for the life of me understand. Amen. But I've heard him say many times, several times, that he don't know about that fire. I do. I mean, if you know anything about any kind of fire, you know what it means to be tormented in flame. Amen. That means somewhere the soul is alive in literal flame. Now then, God resurrects that soul in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, and the dead, small and great, stand before God, and death and hell all are delivered up, amen, and they stand before God. And God judges every man according to his works. And the works and the knowledge we have and the light we have determines how hot the fire is going to be. That's my interpretation. Amen. That's not Bible. That's just my idea about it. Amen. Jesus did say, the servant that knew his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with many stripes. The servant that knew not his Lord's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. So there are degrees of punishment according to knowledge and according to our light and our understanding. And therefore, if you backslide out of a holiness church, hell's going to be hotter for you than anybody. Therefore, if you backslide out of the pulpit like many have in our day, hell's going to be hotter for you than anybody. That's why Paul said, be not many masters, that is, teachers or preachers. For he said, don't you know that they'll receive the greater condemnation? The more we know, the more we're required. Amen. I don't care if a silver-tongued orator is gifted in comforting you on your way to hell and making you feel good while you go to the fire. God bless your heart. It's going to be just as hot when you get there if you turn around on hell train and go to hell backwards as it was if you'd have went with both eyes wide open looking that way. Amen. Max Lynch wrote a one-liner in one of his letters back in June. Dear Senator, he said, July the 4th, 1999, something horrible is going to happen in the United States. He was just 12 days early on his prophecy. Amen. The night of July 16th, that ill-fated plane didn't make it to the wedding with John Jr. and his wife and sister-in-law in it. Where are they today? My opinion is just as good as anybody's, I suppose, unless they got right with God on the way down. They're in hell this morning. Amen. And you can't find anything more horrible than that. And for three souls to go to hell at once. Amen. God will save Catholics just same as He will anybody. That's what I told Garrett Powell's brother. I met him on the streets of Barberville, Kentucky. Amen. And Clifford had got mad at the family and put his kids in the Catholic Church and joined the Catholic Church in spite. I met Clifford on the streets of Barberville. Amen. The Catholic priest took me over and tried to befriend me. That was the day the charismatic movement was just starting. And they were looking for inroads to fellowship Pentecostals and things that we believed alike on so they could build up a liaison and a fellowship of sorts. And so he showed me through all the Catholic Church just one problem. Amen. They still get drunk. And he was found drunk on the streets of Barberville more than once. Amen. And the Bible says, no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Are they saved? No, you got to believe something. You got to repent, like Richard said. You got to get right with God. You got to live something before you can be saved. Amen. I shook hands with Clifford and smiling and happy. I got acquainted with him, found out his brother Garrett Powell, my best man in the church there at Barberville's brother. And I said, come out and be with us in church, Clifford, and enjoy the service of God with us. He said, well, you see, I'm a Catholic. I said, that don't make any difference. God will save Catholics just the same as anybody. And Clifford kind of laughed and he said, well, he said, I hope I'm already saved. Screaming and crying to the top of his voice with heart pains, racking his body from head to toe. Clifford got right with God laying there in the hospital and got back to Mama's God. Amen. They had hope. But he had sold out his whole family and all his children to the Roman Church. Will they make it back? Very few will. There have been some great Catholics in the world. Savonarola, Chrysostom, amen, Martin Luther, and Tyndale, and Latimer, and Ridley, and a whole bunch, amen, of the come-outers are joined those that are the church coming out of a church. Amen. But always, in every case, when they get right with God, they come out and quit praying to Mary. Mariology goes down the river because Mary can't save you. Mary had to be saved herself. By the same blood that washes your sins away, Mary can't answer your prayers neither. She is not a mediator, and she is not the mother of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It wasn't until in 1854, after the cardinal made the trip the umpteenth time up to the Pope and begged permission to declare Mary a part of the Holy Godhead, that they gave Mary deity status ship. If Mary was deity, it wouldn't have took till 1854 to have declared it. But the whole universal Catholic Church, amen, swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. There's one thing that'll make hell hotter than ever, and that's to go to hell from a church pew. To go to hell with a Bible at your fingertips. Go to hell with a gospel preacher screaming to the top of his voice, "Don't do it!" Amen. Get right with God. Amen. The only church that has not decreased in the old line gospel churches. Did anybody else read day before yesterday McManus' article in the paper, an editorial talking about how the churches were decreasing in number? All except the Catholic Church. And they're closing up churches right and left. The only reason the Catholics can boast an increase is because of the way they get members. They still baptize babies. And just as soon as a baby is born in a Catholic family, they count them. And that's why their membership has increased. All the rest except the Pentecostal evangelicals have decreased in number. Are we already starting the great falling away? Corruption on every hand, and people have lost faith because of numerous scandals in the church in these last days. That's why it's so dangerous to sin when you stand behind the pulpit, because you turn people against God and against the church. You demoralize the movement. Amen. Because of sin. God will save a sinning preacher the same as He will anybody. But oh, the damage that's done. Amen. That's why He said, "Be not many masters, seeing ye shall receive the greater condemnation." Now, whoever does not make the rapture of the church will appear in this great white throne judgment. You see, the people who make the rapture of the church, who go in the first resurrection, will not be in this judgment. They'll be the jury. They have already been judged in the fourth and fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, and have already taken their seat, their place around the throne, the rainbow-shrouded throne upon the sea of glass. They have already received their reward. They have already received their particular office and their multiplicities of talents. Amen. And they are among the judge and jury that shall judge both men and angels 1,000 years later. You see, this judgment in the 20th chapter is 1,000 years after the first one. You see, this resurrection in the 20th chapter is 1,000 years after the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. For on such the second death hath no power. The first resurrection, as the First Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, teaches, when you nail them down, and once in a while one of them has got nerve enough to get up on the radio and teach the way they believe, that the first resurrection is when you get saved. I've heard them preach it right over the radio here in the valley. They say it's got to be. Because the Bible said, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." That is oversimplifying the clear truth that is set forth here in the Bible. The first resurrection is when we're changed in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. That's the redemption of our body. And on such the second death hath no power. Everybody else is going to judgment in the 20th chapter. Amen. 1,000 years later, death and hell are delivered up and stand before God. What's the second death going to be like? A whole lot like the first one. What was the first death like? The rich man said, I'm tormented in these flames. What will they say when they're cast alive with the devil and his angels into the lake of fire? You guessed it. They'll say, I'm tormented in these flames. Say, I'm not going to church. There's too many hypocrites there. I'd rather go to church where there's a few hypocrites now and then than to go to hell where there ain't nothing but hypocrites. Amen. That's all you find in hell. All of them had a pretense. All of them had a religion of sorts. All of them had an excuse. All of them had a reason, a skin of reason that they hid behind. Amen. But now the books are open. And now the big search is on. And we're looking for names. L.L. Collins. Elizabeth F. Collins. Jeffrey Brent Collins. Cameron A. Collins Setzer. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. From the frying pan into the fire. A recess in the rich man's hell to be cast forever into the lake of fire where the beasts and false prophets are. Second death, whole lot like the first one. Only worse. There will be no more recess. No more judgments. No more chance. No more escape. No more appeal. No more argument before the throne. It's over. It's over forever. The second death seals it all. Amen. Stand with us. Father, challenge our hearts this morning. Save my friends today. And we who know so much and profess so much and have been blessed so much, help us, Lord, to make it, to be among the chosen, to escape those things which have come upon the earth, and escape that awful first death, hell, and that horrible second death, the lake of fire. I pray. We just got one chance to do it. Help us to pray right. Help us not to be dishonest with ourselves or with God. But help us to shell down the corn, get washed in the blood, and be ready. Ready when He calls. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, we invite you to settle your eternity. To make your calling election sure.